Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
Good morning, New Song. You can take your seats. Oh, what a privilege, what a blessing it is to be here this morning. It really does always feel like coming home. It's been too long. I came here after graduating from college. And this was my church home where I really got to get into ministry here in Portland. And I was sent out actually as a missionary in 2002 to Mexico and was able to start some schools down there and do some ministry, bring some people to the Lord. And it was there that I met my wife. So I brought her back. And you guys got the benefit of knowing her for a few years before we were sent out again to Los Angeles. But we are missionaries to Los Angeles, which might seem strange to some because usually think about sending people overseas. But really, our heart's always been for the people of the city, for the people under-resourced. And so we found this missions organization, World Impact. And their mission is really about empowering the urban poor. It's about equipping and empowering those people that are already in the city. And so we're missionaries to Los Angeles, and we are church planters, and we're church plant catalysts, which means we get the opportunity to work with other people that are being stirred up in their calling, that want to start ministries, that want to start churches, and we get to coach and lead them and help them do that. So we're doing it, but we're also helping other people do that. Before I get too far into this, I did want to introduce my family. Most of them went over to that fun event over yonder, but if you can see up here, that's my wife, Fabiola. We're going to be married 15 years in August. And then I have my oldest daughter. She was dedicated to the Lord right here. She's going to be a high schooler, so be praying for us, please. And then we're taking in our niece. She's 13. She's going into eighth grade, and so she'll be living with us. And then we have my son, Justice. He's 11. He's going into seventh grade. So you can kind of see 7, 8, 9. That's going to be fun. And then, of course, just to keep us on our toes, we have a 5-year-old. So Benaya, our youngest son, he's going to be going into kindergarten. So that is our family, and we really have this value of just doing ministry together, doing ministry as a family. And it's fun to be able to be on this trip, even though it's a little crazy driving, you know, all the way up from LA and kind of moving around in our van. But it's a blessing to be able to be here. So we do hope to see you out in the foyer. We have some information, some little flyers that explain a little bit more, because I'm not going to be able to cover everything. I really want to give you some word, but I want to illustrate some of the things we're doing. But we can answer more questions. We can give you some flyers. And we do send up updates. We have emails. So also it'd be great to get your email so we can send up, every month, but every so often we get a way to be praying for us and keep, so you can feel connected. Because even though we're not too far, I know the time and the space can kind of make us feel like we're far. So we want to be doing this together in partnership with you, and appreciate all the prayers that have come out here. Appreciate all the finances. Even appreciate some of you that have come down to Los Angeles. And that's always an open invitation to anybody that wants to come down and see what we're doing or help out in any way. We are there to work with you and to show you what we're doing. So, yeah, thank you for receiving us this morning. This morning, as we get into the Word, I'd like to start with a few declarations, things that I know that all of you have heard before, many of you understand and know, but it's still always good to get that reminder. It's always good to hear it again. So the first one's real simple. God loves you. And kind of to expand upon that, God loves you and made you to love others, right? The love doesn't just stop this way, but it's really, we're meant to love other people. The second thing I want to remind you this morning is that God created us or made us for relationship, right? First and all with Him, but with others. And so sometimes we want to separate those two things. We want to say love is this nice little thing that we can do over here, and relationship is another thing. But obviously we know those go together. The third thing I want to remind you this morning is that God made you with great capacity. And when I say capacity, what I'm talking about is this ability to grow, to learn, to expand, right? To experience God's greatness, to be able to go and do things that at maybe just the moment of sober thinking, we would go, I don't think I can do that. But God's called us to great things. Do we believe that this morning? And the fourth thing, kind of related, and then that's where we're going to go into our message today, is sometimes we need help. You know, it's good to remember all these core things about who God is, that he's love and that he's called us to love and that he's about relationship. He wants us to relate with others, as well as this ability, this capacity we have. But we need help. We can do so much more together. Let me ask you this. Would you allow a homeless man to come live in your home? For one day, for a week, I don't know how long, or even on your porch. How does that feel? Some of you are like, not my house, but maybe my porch. How about this? Would you be excited about bringing some well-known gangbangers into your youth group right where next to your kids? Saying, hey, I don't care. Go bounce in that bounce house. I don't care what they're doing, what their lifestyle's like. Or how many of you would say, hey, we'll welcome immigrants, illegal immigrants, and allow them to be leaders in our church? Or how about ex-prisoners? Come on. Someone that's been serving a life sentence, got out on parole for a violent crime, would you allow them to be a pastor of your church? That's good. That's what God's been doing in our hearts. That's what our ministry is all about. It's taking these people that have been forgotten, that have been thrown to the side, that have maybe spent all their credit, right? They don't have any more in their bucket, but God is such a gracious God, and God is a God of love and relationship, and God is a God of second choice chances. One of our guiding principles is really just loving the person, whoever that person would be, that's right in front of us. Sometimes that's hard, right? Because that person is different than us. They might speak a different language. They might have a different value set. They might stink. They might be ugly, right? They might be mean. Or maybe I'm tired. Maybe I'm just not into it right now. I'm distracted. I got stuff going on. I'm in a bad mood. Right? But God is asking us to love the person that's in front of us. For us, it's all about God. It's about family. It's about mission. It's about reaching the world. As Spirit-filled believers, we know that we can walk only by faith and not by sight. So we often have to remind ourselves that it's not what I can feel. It's not what I can understand. It's not what I know. Right? We trust God and we obey him. We've been called as ambassadors, and that means we've been given this amazing privilege and opportunity, but this is also a duty and a call to represent the King of Kings in places of darkness. We're admonished to visit the sick, and not only visit the sick, but to heal the sick, to go and visit the prisoners, to take care of the widow and the orphan. And I've discovered for me, when I was here, over 10 years of jail ministry, while I was a full-time school teacher, I took my evenings and would go and visit the guys in the jails. But it's a lot easier going and visit guys in the jail than taking them when they come out. See, because when you go in, you got this is my hour, right? This is my hour to go do my ministry. And it's kind of orderly, and it's organized, and there's a sense of order, even though there's some chaos, there's a sense of order. There's the guards there, there's the structures, the doors, the classroom. But when a guy comes out, or a gal, man, the doors are wide open. There's a lot more need there. And I know as a church, in the general term, we're not doing the greatest job still. We need a lot more work on that. And so that's one of the things that God's been stirring up in us, is how can we help equip the church to take in these guys and gals that are coming out of prison? Many of them giving their life genuinely to the Lord, studying. Some of them have even got their certificate, right, in ministry. But then they come out and they don't know how to do anything. They don't know what a cell phone's like. So we need to work on that, and that's something that God's been showing me. If that's the person that's in front of me, that's the person I need to show love to. And maybe not even just show love, shower love on. Loving a returning citizen is much more difficult, but I think that's what God would want us to do. The Bible also tells us to love the sojourner, right? The foreigner, the stranger. And by no means do I come here with a political agenda or even solutions, to tell you the truth. All I know is that there are real issues before us today as a society. There are real complicated things, but these are people, and God's telling us to love people. You know, homelessness. Thank you. Amen. Homelessness. Right now in LA County, they just released the statistics that 16% increase in homelessness in the city. There are 59,000 estimated homeless people in the county. That's more than Grants Pass and Ashland together, the whole population. Right? That's a lot of people. And I know I've been driving around Portland. There's a problem here too, right? We have that. But what are we doing? How do we do that? What's that look like? And again, I don't have all the answers. But I do know that we as Christ followers are called to love God, to love our brothers and sisters, and to love the people that are different than ourselves, that are going through this crazy life, right? Going through this raging sea called life, going through this thing that's so difficult. But we can do that together. And so this morning, I want to encourage you in one big area. There are people that need your help today. What are we going to do about it? Today, I want to look at the Bible and talk about what it looks like to carry one another's burdens. Now, just before we left Los Angeles, a guy that we were mentoring when he was in elementary, middle, and the beginning of high school, his name's Joel, he came and visited us. And we met them because they were living in front of our house. And I say in front of our house because it wasn't a house. They were living in the park. There was eight of them. So Joel, there were six brothers and sisters, and then their parents. And they had a lot of problems, right? There was a lot of things going on in their life at that time. They were homeless, so they were living out of their van, all eight of them sleeping in the van every night and living in the park during the day. They had tons of sicknesses and hygiene problems going on. They had no job. The kids were not enrolled in school. And so part of us to go and see that person that was in front of us was to go tell them about Jesus, but also to help them practically. So we would bring them in and help them wash their clothes and help them get through some of that sickness and hygiene problems. We helped get all the children enrolled in school. In fact, we even started a tutoring ministry to help tutor some of the kids, and then that began to grow and help us reach more of the community. We walked them through all the paperwork to help them get more aid. There was a lot of things that we got to do. In fact, later, as our relationship developed with them, the oldest girl, we had our quinceañera party, her 15th birthday, at our house. We helped her put that on. We also gave her first job and helped her be part of an internship program that we started for a couple of years. So as you can see, there was a lot of investment, a lot of opportunities that was given. It was really neat because eventually their parents were able to start a business selling tacos on the street. They eventually got a home where they were able to put their family. And So it was really exciting because here's Joel coming back to visit us, right? And part of it was really just to say thank you and just to show that, hey, I've really felt the love. I've really felt that you guys have invested in us. And so he was giving me an update on some of his brothers and sisters and telling me what was going on. But he's a youth leader in his church. And what had happened, unfortunately, was that one of the girls went missing. And so he came and said, hey, Pastor Chad, can you get the word out? Can you help us look? We think that she might have got abducted and be put into the human trafficking channels. And so is there something that you can do? And I said, well, I will get the word out. You know, we'll put posters up with you. And so we kind of encouraged him in that and helped him best we could. As far as I know, that was really right before we left. As far as I know, she has not been found. So that is a prayer request. But I wanted to just illustrate this idea of how we can take someone's burdens, right? How we can help someone when they're in need and then get them to a place where they're able to fly on their own, where they're able to move forward. Because we all go through hard times. Maybe you've never been homeless. Maybe you've never gone through those exact circumstances. But each and every one of us goes through something, right? And so, on the other side of our house was another couple, Gustavo and Consuelo. They lived in a little house right behind us, and since we moved there, we reached out to all our neighbors and got to know them. And their kids, a couple of the younger ones, were involved in gangs and in and out of the jails and whatnot. But we just involved them. We just said, hey, you're going to be part of what we do. Every time we have a meeting, every time we have a party, every time we do an outreach, you're going to be there. And yeah, we just made them part of our family, really part of our life. And I remember one day, I was getting ready to go on a trip to do a retreat, to work on church planning. And I don't know what, God idea. I just said up to my neighbor, Gustavo, hey, do you want to come with me? It'd be really fun to go up to this retreat center. You can just hang out with me. And, I really wasn't thinking too far out. I was just like, hey, just let's do this. So we had a fun time driving and getting up there and just talking and connecting because he did agree to go. And when we got there, God just started moving on him. And he tells me now that was a pivotal moment in my life. My life was changed there. God spoke to him and gave him a call. Yeah. God gave him a call to plant churches. He just felt so stirred up that he was like, I want to do this for real. And so through some contacts that we had, we were able to help him get a new job that was related more to ministry. And eventually got him enrolled in what we have. It's called Evangel. It's our church planning school where we bring guys in. We just teach them everything we know. And mostly it's practical. So they're mostly with their team trying to figure stuff out, listening to God and doing things. But we do give them some skills and some, guideposts along the way. And then I got to walk with him for a year and coach him in that. And it was really fun because when we prayed for him to send him out from our church, we sent him with one of the ladies that was kind of key in helping us start our church. One of these ladies that came along, she was already a mature believer. And so when Fabio and I were going around visiting the neighborhood, she was there. Her name's Norma. And we got to send her off with Gustavo and Consuelo, which was beautiful. And so now they're in Texas. They've moved on. They're starting a new ministry over in Texas. But it was really fun to see. We're still working with that church. They handed it off to other pastor leaders. And, so it's just beautiful to see how God can put you in front of someone, right? Someone with great need, but someone maybe with a burden, a desire to do something that's getting stirred up. And, God's given you purpose. God's given you capacity. God's given you skills and talents and experiences in your life that aren't just for you. Do we believe that? Yeah. Well, I know that God's given us great capacity, but the key here is that God's given us more capacity if we work together. Our vision is to transform individuals, but not just individuals, also families and communities and our nation and the world. We just want to keep seeing that grow. We want to see that grow bigger and bigger. We know we can do nothing without God. When we first moved, God was speaking to our heart, and he said that we were going to be planting 12 churches. I'm like, okay, 12 churches, no problem, right? I got this. No, I didn't. I did not say that. And I'm still not saying that quite like that. No, we're going to get into the word here. I wanted to illustrate that idea because it's going to be really key when we look at some of these things here in a minute. But first, let me read this in 1 John 4:20. It says, whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. Pretty key. I think we've all heard that before, but it's a great reminder. It's a great reminder. We want to love God with all our heart, but what about that person that is in your office? Right? What about that neighbor that just gets under your skin? Right? It's not easy, but that's what God's asking us to do. So in 1628, there was the Swedish Navy was starting a process of building ships. Now, I don't think this is the ship, but just to give us an idea, right? This ship was called the Royal Vasa, and it took 2 years to build. The ship had 64 cannons and was luxuriously decorated. But after sailing just 1 mile from port, it sank. What happened? Well, what went wrong? The load was too much. It was just too heavy, right? They got overcarried with trying to do all the decoration and doing all this. Wow, let's see how many cannons we can get on there. And I think if we're real this morning, as Christians, as believers, Life can be one of feeling overloaded. We can feel burdened. We can have excess baggage, right? Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 2, encourage us in our spiritual journey. It says, let us put aside all weight and the sin that so easily entangles us. And let us run the race of perseverance, the race that's marked out for us, looking to Jesus or fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher or the perfecter of our faith. Talks about that reality that we all feel this stuff, but we got to get it off so that we can run, so that we can go where God wants us to go. I know no one in here saying, I'm just good where I'm at. I don't want to move closer to God. I don't want to get into my destiny. We have a destiny. We have a purpose. We have a calling. There's things ahead that we need to move things off of us so that we can get to them. Hearing me this morning?
Amen.
So let's look at Galatians 6, 1 through 5. I believe I got, we have the verses up there. This is kind of where it's talking about this concept of carrying one another's burdens. So let's look at it. It says, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Now, what's the law of Christ? The law of Christ is love, right? It's taking care of one another. So we fulfill the law of Christ, the love, when we carry one another's burdens. Verse 3 says, if anyone thinks they are something when they're not, I think I better read that one again. Verse 3, if anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing without comparing themselves to someone else. Verse 5, for each one should carry their own load. Now, there's a lot to unpack. In fact, I would encourage you to read further into the next verses. It's rich, that passage. But today, just for the time that we have left, let's look at verse 2 and verse 5. Verse 2 says, carry each other's burdens. Verse 5 says, each one should carry their own load. So what's the difference here between a burden and a load? Right? In fact, in Spanish, when I was reading through this in Spanish, because a lot of the ministry we do is in Spanish, it's the same word. But in the Greek, there are two words, and those two different words are illustrating two different parts of, they're both nautical terms. They're talking about cargo. So the first term, the one translated as burden, is baros. Baros gives the image of weight. It's what would sink a boat, kind of like what happened with the Royal Bassa. Or I think if you go to the next slide, I think there's a picture of some boats that had a burden. You see what happens when we're burdened, when we're overloaded? That was not a good day. Baros means heaviness. It means weight, burden, difficulty, pain, or problems. It's more than one person can carry without help. And so in our lives, we realize that there are burdens. There are these things that are excessive in our lives. It could be maybe a car accident, right? Or an unexpected illness, or the death of a family. Or maybe there's a fire and it destroys your home. All those things are definitely sin, right? The sin that entangles us, those things are burdens. The second word, though, load, that's translated loads, is fortion. Fortion in the Greek. And that's referring to the cargo of the ship. It's just an intentional load designed to be transported by the ship. There's no reference to the weight. It's a personal and individual responsibility. It's something that was not meant to be shared. So that means a larger ship would have a larger fortion and a smaller ship would have a smaller fortion. So let's think about some examples. Shepherds, what do? They take care of sheep, right? That's their job. So how heavy do you think those sheep are? Do you think that they're heavy? I would think so. Right? You see that picture? They're carrying something. But is that a burden or is that a load? Is that baros or fortion? Fortion. That's their job. That's what they're meant to do. Yes, it's heavy, right? Sometimes we want to get away without feeling any pain, without doing any work. No, we're being told right here, we each need to carry our own load. Okay? So get used to that. Your shoulders are meant to carry that load, right? That's not a burden. We need to know the difference. Now, horses are created to, well, they carry riders, they carry stuff, but this horse, Barros or Fortion? Burden or load? Barros, clearly. Clearly, this horse had a bad day. This way too much, more than that horse could carry. And that's how some of us feel. Maybe right now, definitely, I know we can all relate at some time in our life that this is too heavy, right? I'm just too much. Now, children, their backpack, they go to school. Is that a Barros or is that a Fortion? Fortion, right? Kids, they're supposed to take their own backpacks. Now, in this picture, we see it looks like maybe a man's carrying the backpack from behind. And that's where we enter into the codependency, right? That's where we get these problems of helping people when they don't really need help, right? We're hurting them. Parents, we know that we can help with the homework, but we can't do the homework. Big difference, right? Big difference. And so that's when we understand, there are times when someone has a load to carry, let them carry their load. Encourage them, love on them, but let them carry it. But there's also times when there's a bigger burden. Just for fun, let's look at that last one here. All right, well, I know we're in church, but that's real. How many of us make messes in life? We got sin. We need someone. Sorry, Pastor Richard. We need someone to come in and clean up for us. That is really a great example of a Barros burden because we just can't take care of it. So let's look at the word. The shepherd boy David, right? Taking care of the flock, but gets a call to run the lunches, right? Running the lunches down to the field. And the Philistines are on one side, Israelites on another, and there's this epic battle scene. And the giant Goliath, right, comes and taunts the Philistines. And David hears that. And he, being a young boy, says, all right, I'm going to do that. So the word gets to Saul. What does Saul do? Puts on the armor, right? At that moment, what's David feeling? Probably like that. That's Barros. That was a burden for David. David was never going to be able to fight Goliath like that. But then if you go back to that other picture, the famous scene, of him grabbing the five rocks, slinging that, is that a Barros or is that a Fortion? That's a Fortion. Why? Because David was meant for that. He was built for that. He was born for that day. The experience with the bear, the experience with the lion, everything in his life had been leading up to that day. And he said, I'm not going to let anybody talk against my father's house. I'm not going to let anybody talk against my nation. I'm not going to let anybody talk against my God, right? He was, within him, had those values. And for him, that was a nothing load. And so I had mentioned that God put it on our heart to plant 12 churches. Honestly, that's a Fortion. That's a load for us. That's not a burden. That's not something that's too heavy for us. Why? Because we know that God is marching with us. He's walking with us. He's prepared us for this day. And I don't know how, right? Again, I'm really not the guy that knows everything and can figure it out. I don't have the plan always figured out. I wish I did kind of, but I don't. And I don't think David walked in there that day going, I know exactly what I'm going to do. He just said, I need to do something about this. Right? How many of us have those deep-rooted convictions? Right? I see some hands. That's good. Right? That God would stir us up and say, you know what? God has made me for this day. He's not going to give me more. He's not going to give me less. Whatever God puts before me, whoever God puts in front of me, that's what I need to do. That's who I need to love. Right? Another crazy thing, and I'm just going to share this just to give glory to God, because one day we'll all see it. But God has also spoken to my heart saying that I will have an impact on 100,000 Hispanics. Now, I'll just be honest. Our church, it's healthy. There's some leaders growing. We've sent out a few other people to do other things, but we're not even at 100. It's okay. Thank you. 99,900. I did the math. To go. Right? No problem. Thank you, New Song, for your faith, for praying for us. With God, all things are possible. There's this really neat quote by Hudson Taylor, the missionary to China, and he says that there's three stages to every great work for God. Three stages. First stage, it's impossible. Second stage, it's difficult. Third stage, it's done. That's the way our God works. He asks us to move in front of the giant. Now, we look at that giant, 10 foot tall, little boy, not very fair odds, right? Not very fair odds for who? I say not very fair odds for Goliath, because David had the Spirit of God, right? He was going against someone that's not even fair. And so no matter what you have in front of you this morning, if it's something big or it's something small, let's just trust God. Let's just trust God, right? He's given us these loads. He's given us our families. He's given us our jobs. He's given us our church, right? He's given us even our own character that we are supposed to be working on forming. The Spirit does that with us, but we do that with Him. It's a partnership. But that's not for someone else, right? We can't assume the responsibility for someone else's behavior. God gets the glory. And our character is formed when we carry our own fortion, when we carry our own load. But also God gets the glory when we help others carry their baros, burden, right? And we show love for both of those. So a lot of what we're doing in Los Angeles is no different than what could be done here or anywhere else in the world. And I believe that with all my heart. I know sometimes people get caught up in, oh, look what you're doing, and it's so amazing, and thank you. But no, it's just any normal person doing what they're feeling the conviction to do. And so while every story is not going to look the same, everybody's life's not going to look the same, I think we can all do something. And I want to illustrate that with one guy that we got to work with. A lot of what we're doing, like I mentioned at the beginning, is leading more leaders and pastoring more pastors. And so there was this guy, Philip. And when we met Philip, he shared with us that he was dying. He was going through cancer, and that's a picture of him in the middle there. He was going through cancer and kidney failure at the same time. And so he was like, I'm dying, but he heard the call to empower the urban poor and said, I'm all in, sign me up, I'll do whatever. And so what he did is he opened up his home to ex-prisoners, and he emptied all the rooms and put bunks in there and just said as many as they can get. And in fact, he started sleeping on the couch so that he could give up his own bed in his own bedroom. Wow. Yeah. And so we started working with him and coaching him and helping him to kind of figure out what could work and what wouldn't work. And his schedule was go in at like 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning for dialysis. When he came back, the guys were usually getting to work, and he helped them get their jobs. And then they would do these Bible studies, and a training center kind of formed. And this became a place of peace, a place of purpose, a really neat home. And in that home, 24/7, just ministry was going on. Ministry was going on, and it began to feel more like a church. And he was like, how can we, you know, do more? So he started doing outreach to Skid Row, and reaching more people. And not every single person that went through those doors was a success story, but he was able to grab a lot of rough diamonds and polish those guys up. And one guy in particular was Benito. He was in prison for 31 years. He came through that house and has since been sent out as a church planner. He started his own church, got it going. So again, many people would have written Benito off. I think a lot of people would have written Philip off too. Here's this guy that really he's kind of like, oh, I can just live my life comfortably, try to go through my dialysis, see how many years I have and try to live up to the most I can. And again, I don't want to put any spin on this. This is just whatever God would speak to you. What's he calling you to? What's he asking you to do? Not everyone's going to give up their bed, right? But there's something that God's asking you to do. Absolutely. Every single one of us. God's asking someone to do something. And so there's this really neat story in the Bible. I'm pretty sure we all know it. It's in Luke 5. Where Jesus is teaching and he's healing people. He gets this crowd going like he tended to do, right? He gets this crowd. In fact, he's in this house and the house just starts getting packed. People are coming to hear the teaching. People are coming to get healed. And some friends saw a need. and they grabbed their buddy. Their buddy couldn't get there, right? Because remember, he was a cripple. He was a paralytic. And so they grabbed his mat, and they went running out over to where Jesus was. But when they got to the house was full. There was no way to get in. So they did what good friends do, and they went up on the roof and started ripping out tiles, right? And lowering this man to Jesus. These guys, what did they have? They had faith, they saw a need, they had compassion, and they did something about it. You know, some of us get stuck on one of those. Either we don't have compassion, oh, help us, Lord, right? Soften my heart, help me see like you see. Some of us see that stuff, but then we get stuck on the doing, the action step, right? These guys went all the way to ripping out tiles of a roof. And it's crazy when you look at that passage, what it says. It says that Jesus saved and healed that man based on the faith of the friends. So I ask you this morning, what kind of faith is in you? And who's it? Who's in your life that you can carry to the feet of Jesus? We all have somebody. If you can't think of who that person is now, let that be our prayer, right? Who is there in your life that needs to be gently restored into fellowship? Beautiful thing about our Lord, our Savior, our Jesus, is that he carries our burdens, right? On that cross, he took on every single one of our burdens, our sickness, our messes, our sin, our crazy stuff, everything. So what greater example do we have than to follow that Jesus that loved us so much that he died for our burdens, right? We know the passage that talks about the burden being light, the yoke being easy, right? We find rest in God. Jesus himself said there is no greater love than this, than someone to give his life for his friend. So how do we respond to this good news? We can't bear one another's sins, because that was Jesus' job. But we can bear one another's bottles, burdens. Not long before Jesus died, he gave this command in John 13, 34. Love one another. Just as I have loved you, you must also love one another. In fact, he hoped that the obedience to that command would be so sincere, so lived out, that he said that should be a distinctive. In the next verse, if you want to look at that one, it says, in this way, everyone will know that you or that they are my disciples if they love one another. So that means what? Our identity in Christ is expressed fundamentally in the practice of this mutual love. True love acts in the best interest of the other person, often even through sacrifice, laying down something that was important to us, laying down our convenience. So let's follow the example of Jesus. Let's learn to carry one another's burdens and yet be responsible to carry our own loads. We have let a homeless man sleep in our house, and we've also worked with gang members, brought them into our youth group right alongside our little children. We have created a place for immigrants, despite their legal status, to use their God-given gifts to bless the church. And as I've already illustrated, we have been able to watch, encourage, and train up dozens of ex-convicts, ex-prisoners that have been called to be pastors, to plant churches that are beginning these beautiful works, right? They're bringing life, they're bringing wholeness, they're bringing purpose, healing, unity, and they're bringing this whole new flavor to the city where there was just darkness and despair, right? They're out of the ashes, they're coming and bringing healing to where there was sickness. And we want to do this together. And in fact, that's part of why we're here this morning, is just to encourage you, but also to ask for more help, right? To say, would you partner with us? Would you come and lift up our arms so that we can lift up their arms so that we can see more of this happening? Right? We asked for those continued prayers, for those continued visits, for the encouragement, for the financial support. We need all of that. But each one of you need, and there's, I'm sure, people in here that need to hear this morning. There's a family member. There's a coworker. There's someone sitting in an aisle near you that needs your help. They're carrying a burden. And some of us are shy. Some of us are struggling with stuff and we don't say anything. But I want to encourage you this morning. Let's say something. We all need Jesus. Amen? We all need Jesus. We just need someone to bring us to Jesus. All right? Go ahead and stand. Let's have a word of prayer and close in a song here. Dear Jesus, I thank you so much for your faithfulness to us, that you love us so much. God, that you are the God that carries our burdens and encourages us and helps us so that we can make an impact, so that we can make change, that we can see your life represented through other people. God, I pray for your kingdom to come and that you would minister to people, that no one would leave here today without just feeling your presence as we were singing about, come, Holy Spirit. And also, God, that if we have burdens, that we could come and bring those before you, that there would be someone here that could pray for our burdens. And maybe someone would just even say, I got this desire to do something, but I just feel stuck. I feel stuck. I want to go be the hands and feet of Jesus. I want to be the voice of Jesus. But maybe we just need that prayer this morning. We just need to commit ourselves to that this morning. That this would be that place, Lord Jesus, for you to do your work. Pray this in your name.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.